is a shaila that I got this Yom Tov, and I thought it was a unfortunate shaila, but it was a very interesting one. So we had a Kohen who unfortunately was visiting, no, he was fortunately visiting our community. Unfortunately, he had a stroke in the past year and was unable to stand for Nesias Kapayim. And he wanted to know, what is he supposed to do? Is he allowed to duchen? Is he allowed to be involved in Nesias Kapayim even though he cannot stand, even though he cannot raise his arms? Or perhaps not. This is a very interesting question, and it's a very unfortunate question, but it leads to a discussion that is very important in general. So we begin with the Gemara in Menachos Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshes, Kol She'ena Maniach Tfilin, if you have somebody who chooses not to wear tfilin, Over B'Shmona Aseh, we assume that not only are you in violation of the mitzvah of Ukshartam, Le'os Al Yodecha V'Hayu L'Tot Afoz Bein Einecha, but says the Gemara, if you don't wear tfilin, somehow, if you count up all the various psukim that you find all throughout Chumash, you will find that there are 8 different times in which the Torah instructs us to wear tefillin, and therefore, if you choose not to, you are violating 8 mitzvos aseh. V'kol she'en lo tzitzis bevigdo, if somebody wears a 4-cornered garment and chooses not to put the strings of tzitzis on it, over b'chamisha aseh, it is considered as if you have violated 5 mitzvos aseh. V'kol kohen she'en ola l'duchen, says the Gemara, if you have a kohen who chooses not to give the Birchas Kohanim when he is asked to do so, Over Begimel Aseh, says the Gemara, he's in violation of 3 mitzvahs Aseh. Kol She'en L'mezuzah B'Pischo, anyone who doesn't put up a mezuzah, Over B'Shnei Aseh. So that is the basic Gemara, but what you see is that the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim somehow encompasses 3 mitzvahs Aseh, which means it's a very important mitzvah, and if one violates it, if one chooses not to give the Birchas Kohanim as they are supposed to, they are in violation of 3 mitzvahs aseh. Now, although that is the case, if you look carefully in the Beis Yosef that you have here, you'll notice that not everyone is expected and not everyone is commanded to, not every Kohen is commanded to be involved and engaged in the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim. What do we mean? Writes the Beis Yosef as follows, V'kasav od sham b'mordechai v'shivali aleket b'shem ri ben Yehuda. De Kohen panui eino noseas kapa. Now this is a very surprising statement, that a Kohen panui, a Kohen who is not yet married, is not expected, is not obligated to be noseas kapav, to duchen, which is very strange. We don't find any kind of discrimination anywhere else in halacha between somebody who's married and somebody who's not. Generally, we assume somebody who's married and somebody who's not share the same obligation. They both have to wear tzitzis, they both have to keep Shabbos, they both have to wear tefillin, everything else is the same. And here we find something very unusual. And if you look in the Psukim in Chumash, nowhere will you find a mention of any difference that is drawn between somebody who's married and somebody who is single. So where does this come from? Writes the Beis Yosef, the reason why is ki hashari below isha, shari below simcha, because a man who is not yet married is not considered to be at the complete state of his simcha. Somebody might argue a man who's married for too long is also not in the complete state of his simcha. Everybody has their own perspective, but the way it's supposed to be is, when one gets married, they're supposed to have shalom bayis, and they're supposed to make them happier. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, this is why the Rishonim assume that a Kohen Panui, who is not really completely happy in his life, is not considered to be in a position in which he can give the Birchas Kohanim. What does being happy have any connection at all to the mitzvah Birchas Kohanim? So he says, that's just a practical consideration. V'roi l'hamivarech shi'i ashari b'simcha. It's important that one who is giving a bracha should be in a jovial mood, kemosha batzina b'Yitzchak, like we find by Yitzchak Avinu. Achas she'achal, after he eats, it says, after he takes the food from his son, then va'avarchaka, then I'll give you over the brachas. And then we find the same thing, smeichem v'tovei lev, the pasuk says in Malachim Aleph, that the Jewish community was smeichem v'tovei lev, they were excited, they were happy, uksiv, and after that it says, they extended a bracha to the Melech, va'ivarchu es ha-melech. Why did they do that? Because once a person feels good about themselves, once a person is happy, that is when their bracha is able to be most effective. Uvetshuvas ha-rashba kasav, says the Beis Yosef, it's a very nice reason, and we understand why maybe some Rishonim said that a Kohen panui, a Kohen who is single, who is not yet married, should not be involved in the Nesias Kapayim. However, he says the Rashba was asked the same question. Shal hashol al din zeh, shematza kasa b'shem harav Yitzchak b'rab Yehuda, the Kohen pane enu Nesias Kapa, v'heshiv ha-Rashba. And the Rashba says, davar zeh, lo shemativ le'echad me'rabuseinu ha-rishonu me'olam. I never heard anybody say such a thing. Where does this come from? I'm sorry, I didn't read that correctly. Davar zeh lo shemativ le'echad me'rabuseinu me'olam. I never saw any of the Tanoim, any of the Amoraim. I haven't found a source that would indicate that there should be any difference between a Kohen who's married and a Kohen who's single. V'lo ra'isi le'echad mi'mechabri ha'svarim, v'ulai medrash agadu, which seems to indicate that the Rishonim didn't really know all the Midrashim. Now, I don't know if it means because maybe they weren't available to many of the Rishonim, they wouldn't have the availability that we have, or because the Rashba felt that his primary focus was on Mishnayos and Gemara, and he didn't read all the Midrashim, all the Tanaic sources that we have. So he says, Ulai Medrash Agadahu, maybe you'll find some Medrash somewhere in which there will be some indication that a Kohen who is not yet married should not duchen. However, he says, Avalafi Gemara Seinu, Eino Nirakein. According to our Gemara, which is what? Mipivanu Chayim, that's what we paskin all the Shilas from our Gemara. He says, you will not find any indication, Shlo Huskarba, Bishum Makam. You don't find this anywhere. Vafal Pisha Devar Kashu Lepacha Mikim Gimel Asebechal Yom, B'tam Shein B'talmud. And he says, he doesn't understand how we can get rid of a mitzvah, in which we just said, the Gemara tells us, if you violate the mitzvah and you don't do Nesias Kapayim when you're asked to do so, you violate three mitzvahs haseh. He says, how can you just make up an arbitrary reason and say, based on that reasoning of your own, that a Kohen is able to forgo this mitzvah? And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, on the one hand, if you look at all the sources, it clearly says that a Kohen, whether he's married or he's single, has to be involved in Nesias Kapayim. On the other hand, we have some Rishonim that say that if he's not yet married, he should not do Nesias Kapayim, because he's not happy. Therefore, says the Beis Yosef, we're going to have the following compromise, and that is, if a single Kohen chooses not to do the Birchas Kohanim, not to be involved, he has a right to do so. Ein Molchim Yodah. We don't force him to do it. He has a right to follow those opinions. However, if you come and you ask me the Shiloh whether or not a Kohen who is single should do the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, says the Beis Yosef, of course, I would say that he should. So, as we saw, there's a limit among some of the Rishonim as to the scope of who's obligated in this mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim. It's not all Kohanim. Perhaps it's only a Kohen who's married and not a Kohen who is not. Along the same lines, the Beis Yosef then extends it a little bit further and he says, maybe this mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim is limited even further. And he says the following. Let's look at number Gimel. Kasav ha'agur shenisha mahari molen. The Agur writes that he was asked the following shayla. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech ha'olam shehakol nehi ebed vero. Lama ein ha'kohanim nosim kapayim b'chol yom me'achashu mitzvah saseh. We just learned in the Gemara that you have a mitzvah saseh, v'samu eshmiel b'nei Yisrael v'ani avarchem, you have a mitzvah saseh, if you're a Kohen, to do the mitzvah Birchas Kohanim. So why is it that we don't do this every day in Chutz La'aretz? In Eretz Yisrael, as we know, they do, but in Chutz La'aretz, we don't. V'heishiv, and he said, number one, v'pnei sheminig ha-kohanim litvol kodem, kemo shekase b'hagos maimini. It seems that the Kohanim had a practice before they did the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, they would go to the mikveh. And therefore, he says, "B'chol yom kashalhem litvo b'chorif." What are you going to tell them? Every day in the freezing cold, they have to go and crack the ice and go to the mikveh before they go to shul. V'lachein ala haminig dafke b'yamtiv. And therefore, we said we're going to limit it only three times a year: Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot. Otherwise, you're not mechuyev to do it because it's too cold. It's too difficult to expect the kohanim to go to mikveh every day. And the Beis Yosef is obviously going to have a major problem with this. Number two, he says, "Gam mitam bitul malacha." On a regular day of the week, we all have to go to work. Who has time to stick around for the Kohanim who are going to be singing their Nigunim and are going to be doing the Birchas Kohanim? It's very nice, but we don't have time for this. Nobody has time for it. Ukesher Kohen in Onikra in Over. And the bottom line is, says the Beis Yosef, if we as a community don't ask the Kohen to give us a bracha, then he doesn't have an obligation to do so. And therefore writes the Beis Yosef, this is the reason why we don't do it throughout the year. We only reserve the Birchas Kohanim for Yom Tov. And writes the Beis Yosef, it's wrong. The Ugur is trying to defend the practice of his community, but the defense that he gave doesn't answer the question. What are you going to tell me? Because the Kohanim decided on their own they're going to start going to the mikveh before they do Berchas Kohanim, therefore we're going to tell them, you know what? Don't do the mitzvah at all. Don't go to the mikveh. Why? That should be the answer. Don't go to the mikveh. Nobody told you you have to go to the mikveh. Just because you decided that it's the nice thing to do to go to the mikveh, this is the problem that Beis Yosef raises, which is, very often in life we have a chumrah, ha'asi lidei kula. We have a chumrah which is going to lead to a kula. This is a concept that the Gemara has in a number of places, and the Rishonim and Acharonim talk about it all over the place, that every chumrah that a person takes upon themselves ultimately can lead to a kula. It's not always so obvious where the kula will come down the line, but it's very important that you have to make a very careful calculation whenever you accept a chumrah upon yourself, that it's not going to lead to a kula. So Shlomo Zalman Auerbach has two stories in a row. Each of them are beautiful. One of them is famous, one of them is not. In which he said that he was very bothered by people who aren't careful enough and sensitive about the kula that can come out of a chumrah that they take upon themselves. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, number one. There was a man who we saw on Shabbos afternoon in Shaarei Chesed, walking together with his young son who was in yeshiva. And he saw that the man was carrying a stack of chairs, and the son was walking together right next to him, not carrying any. So he turns to the son, and he says, "What's going on?" He says, "Well, I don't hold by the Erev in Yerushalayim, I'm machmir not to carry. And my father does, and we're having a kiddush, there's some family yard site, so we're having a kiddush now this Shabbos, and we had to have a whole stack of chairs brought from shul, so my father's carrying them." Said Rav Shlomo Zalman, "Does that make sense? The Erev in Yerushalayim is kosher. You decided you want to be machmir not to carry the Erev, very nice, but not when it's going to lead you to violate something with regard to the aspect of Kibbut Avayim." That's the first story. It's a famous story that Rav Shlomo Zalman had. They say the story about many other Gedolim also. Same kind of story, different variation. But the other story Rav Shlomo Zalman says is amazing. And this is far less well known. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that there's a whole discussion about when you make, let's say, a tea on Shabbos, the Achronim, the modern day Achronim, discuss whether or not you have to actually wipe out the bottom of the moist cup to make sure that when you're pouring the hot water into the teacup, it doesn't boil the little droplets of water, the moisture that's on the bottom of the cup. A big chumrah, the Shemir Shabbos Kachasa talks about it. I would imagine anybody in the room does that. I would imagine nobody in the room is machmer for that. A show of hands, anyone? So it's a discussion. It's a discussion, and the Shemir Shabbos Kachasa weighs the pros and the cons, whether or not you have to do it. Okay, so Shlomo Zalman Auerbach told a young father that even though there's a discussion in Hilchos Shabbos whether or not you're allowed to pour the hot water into the teacup when you know that there's a little bit of moisture on the bottom of it, he said, as a young father, you don't have a right to be machmir for that chumrah. Why not? The young father said, "I'm not going to ask my children to wipe it out for me. I'm going to do it myself. I'll make my own tea. I'm not bothering anyone else." He said, "No, because your children are too young to understand the difference between an issa d'oraisa, an issa d'rabbanan, a minhag, and a chumrah. Everything they say in our family is usur on Shabbos. Like in our family, if we're going to say you're not allowed to pour hot water into the teacup, the kids don't understand that that's just the chumrah. They think that's the way you keep Shabbos." Said Rav Shlomo Zalman, "What's going to happen when your young children go to their friends' homes and they see their parents making tea like that? They're going to say, 'Oh, look, they're mechalel Shabbos.' And they don't understand that their friends' parents are good from a Jews and they're keeping Shabbos the right way. It's just they don't have this chumrah that you accepted upon yourself." Said Rav Shlomo Zalman, "What right do you have to accept a chumrah upon yourself when it's going to lead your children to think negatively about their friends' parents?" That's amazing sensitivity of Rav Shlomo Zalman. It's the amazing greatness of who Rav Shlomo Zalman really was, and so many stories show that. But basically, writes the Beis Yosef over here, chumrah asur li dekula, what right do we have to make up a chumrah, which is we have to go to the mikvah before we do nesias kapayim, and because of our chumrah that we invented, as a result of that, we're not going to go and do nesias kapayim at all throughout the year because it's too hard to go to the mikvah. Forget about the chumrah and get back to the mitzvah you're supposed to do. And therefore, says the Beis Yosef, I think it's a mistake. And in the end, he writes, in the end of this paragraph, he says, he's proud of the fact that where he lived, they went ahead and they did nesias kapayim every day. And he says the communities in Egypt and Mitzrayim do the same thing. And he doesn't understand where this comes from. Writes the Rama in Siman Kuf Chav Ches in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. The Rama says, do I have it on here? I didn't put it on. The Rama writes, Nagu Mechal Medina Seidu She'en Nosin Kapayim Ela B'Yamtif. The Rama says, we only do Nesias Kapayim on Yamtif. Aye, why is that the case? So you can't accept the reason that the Beis Yosef writes, because that really doesn't make any sense. Because they went to the mikvah, and therefore, what does that mean? Therefore, says the Rama, no. Because we just said it's imperative that a Kohen, when he's doing the Nesias Kapayim, has to be in his highest state of happiness. And therefore writes the Rama, the same way there was a discussion whether or not a Kohen who's single should do Nesias Kapayim because maybe he's not so happy as he should be, so too he says, we're not so happy on a regular day. Why? Because we are trudim b'malachtam. Everyone's worried about the business meetings that they have and all the places they have to run to and all the tuitions they have to pay. But it finally comes to Yom Tov and everybody's relaxed and everybody's happy. And therefore writes the Rama, the only way to have an effective bracha, Berchas Kohanim, is when the Kohen is in a good mood. And therefore he says, not only do we reserve Birchas Kohanim for Yom Tov, but he says we reserve it for the end of davening because everyone's excited. Now we're going to go home. Imagine if you're going to duchen in the middle of Shacharis, people looking at their watches. This is not me. This is the Ramah. Imagine, he says, you have people duchening in the middle of Shacharis and everyone's looking at their watches. Oh, we have another 2 hours to go. Who has patience for this? No one's happy. But says the Ramah, at the end of davening, when we're all the way at the end of Musaf and we know that in just another few minutes we're going to go to the Kiddush, we're going to go home and we're going to have a good meal, says the Ramah, that's the perfect place where the duchening belongs, because that's the time when everybody's going to be most besimchas. So my father said, he was once talking to Rav Avram Shapiro, the Rosh Hashiva of Merkaz Harav in Yerushalayim. So Rav Avram Shapiro said, "Nu, so why do they duchen in Eretz Yisrael every day?" The answer is, nobody works. They're not worried about a parnasa, nobody works, so that's why they're happy all year long. Anyway, that's obviously not the answer. And the Ramah says, this is the reason why we reserve Nesias Kapayim only for Yamim Tovim, and we do not do it throughout the course of the year. So the Nadi Yehuda writes, this is the reason why on Tisha B'Av we don't do Nesias Kapayim either. Says the Nadi Yehuda, there were those who said the reason why you don't do Nesias Kapayim on Tisha B'Av is because, how can you say V'yaseim Lecha Shalom? How can the Kohen give a bracha to others that they should have peace in their lives if we know it's Aser B'She'elah Shalom? So the Talmud of the Nadi Yehuda says, come on, that can't be the reason. That's not Sheila Shalom. Sheila Shalom means to ask you how you're doing. I have a conversation with you. When I give you a bracha, the Yaseim Lecha Shalom, that's God's bracha. That's nothing to do with me. That's not a casual conversation. And therefore they say, no, the reason why is because on Tisha B'Av, everybody's bitzar. And because we're bitzar, this is not an appropriate time to give a bracha, because this is not a bracha that is going to be effective. So it's interesting that this debate about whether or not Nesias Kapayim should be done throughout the year or only reserved for Yamim Tovim, this was a discussion that lingered for hundreds and hundreds of years. And this was a major issue over the generations. And the Aruch HaShulchan weighs in on the issue most recently, and he says the following. Hine, v'aday ein shum tam nachon l'minhagenu levatol mitzvos birchas kohanim kol hashana kula. We all know there's no good reason why we don't duchen every single day of the year. We have a mitzvah to duchen, 3 mitzvahs haseh. We should be doing this every year. Umina garuahu, says the Aruch HaShulchan, it's a horrible practice that we have in chutzlars that we don't duchen every day, and I have no way of defending it. Yes, the Ramah says the reason why is because we're not happy. Come on, what are you talking about? How about if I have a retiree's minion? Everybody's happy, nobody's going anywhere, everyone's fine. Why shouldn't we have a Nesias Kapayim every day? Says the Aruch HaShulchan, that can't be the reason. The Beis Yosef said the reason is because, maybe it's because the Kohanim go to the mikveh. We already said that reason can't be the reason why. Just say, stop going to the mikveh and continue on with the Birchas Kohanim. However, says the Aruch HaShulchan, although I don't understand it, and although it's a minagarua that in Chutz La'aretz we have adopted this practice of not doing the Nesias Kapayim, avol ma nase, what can I do? Ukeilu baskol yatza shelo lahaniach lanu lisa kapayim b'chol hashana kula. He says it's as if a baskol came out min hashamayim and told us that we don't have a right to do Nesias Kapayim during the year. Yeah?
But why not also on Shabbos? Why not Chutz La'aretz?
Right. So I guess the understanding is that on Shabbos we're not so relaxed because we know we have to go straight back to work. On Yom Tov we have, I don't know. That's what the Achronim say. Shabbos, people are still worried they shouldn't be. But it says, Hurhur Mutarim, right? On Shabbos you're allowed to think about your business, even though you're not allowed to talk business. But people are still catching up on the week. I don't know. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, I don't understand it. But it seems like there was a baskel. What baskel is he talking about? When was there a baskel? So he doesn't explain. So the Netziv fills in the story, and the Netziv in the Tshuva writes what happened was the following. Zachruni, he says, I remember, Sheshamati Michosni Hagon, the Avbezin of Alashin. He said, I heard from my relative, the Avbezin of Alashin. Shepamachas Hiskim Rabbeinu Hagra, they were from the family of the Vilna Gaon. He once said that the Vilna Gaon decided, enough with this horrible practice, we're going to go and reinstitute Nesias Kapayim as we always should have been doing. And the Yagab signs, v'ikvu min hashamayim, and they stopped the Vilna Gaon from doing it. Why? V'nilkach lebeis ha'asurim be'eis ha'machlokes ha'narab b'vilna le'aleinu. He said that night, the Vilna Gaon was arrested and taken to prison, and he took it as a siman min hashamayim, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Okay, so if it didn't work out for the Vilna Gaon, Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who was the star disciple of the Vilna Gaon, decided, well, it didn't work out for him, but I'm going to try again. So he once again hangs up the Pashkevilim in Volozhin, and he says, tomorrow morning, Kohanim should be there on time. We're planning on having Nesias Kapayim again. And what happened, he says, that night, B'yom HaMachras Yitzav Lisa Kapayim, he hung up signs that everyone's going to duchen the next day. But also Lila, that night, Nisrav Chatzi Ha'ir Ubeis HaKnesa Sheba'ir. Half the city of Alazhin, including the shul, burned down. And Rav Chaim Alazhiner said, maybe it's not such a good idea. The Vilna Gaon got arrested. Half of my city and the shul burned down. Maybe we'll just leave things as it is. I assume that's the Bas Kol Min HaShamayim that the Aruch HaShulchan is referring to. Not a good idea. So the Chasam Sofer has an interesting suggestion on his own as to why it is that we don't do Nesias Kapayim during the year. And I found this fascinating. I don't know if he's accepted or not, but I think it's a very interesting idea. Chasam Sofer suggests the following. And he says, we know the Gemara tells us that Tefillah is in the place of Karbanos, right? We don't have Karbanos today, but we do have Tefillah. That's the substitute. So says the Chasam Sofer, what happens if somebody offers a Karban and they're not concentrating as they should? And they're not thinking about the shame, what's the reason why I'm bringing the carbon, who's bringing the carbon, what's being brought for. So the halacha is, anyone who's learning the Daf Yomi now knows, Maseches Zvachim, we learned about the halacha of pigul, means it's going to disqualify a carbon if it's brought without the proper intent, without the proper thought, as it's being offered. Says the Chasam Sofer, the same applies to a tefillah. If you have a tefillah where you're not having the right kavana, it's considered like pigul. It's considered as if it's not an acceptable tefillah. It's not the way it's supposed to be done. And yet he says Nesias Kapayim is also supposed to be a continuation of the avodah. The same way they used to offer karbanos on the Beis Hamikdash and then the Kohanim got up and gave a bracha. So too says the Chasam Sofer, that is why we pattern Nesias Kapayim off of the avodah on the Beis Hamikdash. And we do it at the end of davening, at the end of Shemona Esrei, when we're wrapping up all the tefillahs after we offered our karban, now we offer the Nesias Kapayim the same way we would in the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore it says the Chasam Sofer as follows. V'hayoz ba'avonoseinu harabim kol yemos hachol trudim ala miche ve'ala kalkala. Since during a regular day of the week, everyone's busy thinking about how they're going to pay the tuitions and how they're going to live life and how they're going to pay the mortgage. V'rova tefillahs b'li kavana v'tir de maruba. And most of us are not thinking as we should when we are davening. Therefore, he says, it is considered like a karban she'ena ratzui. It's like a karban that is not being offered in the proper way. And therefore, he says, why would we continue on and then give a bracha? The same way you wouldn't have a birchas kohanim if a pasul of karban was offered. So too, he says, if you have a pasul of tefillah that's offered, you don't offer a nesias kapayim at the end of that tefillah. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, we reserve it for yamtiv. Because we assume yamtiv, everyone's relaxed. And relaxed, I guess, in the days of the Chasam Sofer meant that people have more patience to daven instead of less patience. And therefore he says that that's why we reserve Nesias Kapayim only for Yom Tov and we don't do it every day of the year. Anyway, that's the idea that he raises. Reb Shlomo HaKohen Mivilna in the Sefer Binyan Shlomo says that really can't be the answer. After all, we know Tefillah is only Midrabanan. Nesias Kapayim is a Mitzvah Daraisa. How can you say that because you weren't Mechavin in the Tefillah, therefore you Nesias Kapayim, which is a Mitzvah Daraisa, gets thrown out the window? That doesn't make sense. And therefore he says he doesn't really know where the Chasam Sofer came up with this idea. Bir Halacha also rejects it. He says it can't be the reason. But anyway, this is a very mystifying Halacha to figure out why it is that we limit the scope of the Mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim, why we don't do it all the time. Now let's get to the main issue that we started with, and that is, what happens when you have a Kohen who is a Baal Mum, and he is not able to do the Nesias Kapayim as he once was able to do, or as the other members of the community are doing. For example, you have a Kohen who is not able to lift his hands. He had a stroke and his hands are not working, so he can't lift them over by his head. Or if you have a Kohen who is not able to stand, he's in a wheelchair and he's not able to get up, even if he leans on something, he won't be able to. Would we allow such a Kohen to do the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim on Yom Tov, or perhaps not? So the crux of that issue really is as follows. The Gemara says in Megillah, Taf Chav Dalet Amad Beis, Kohen sheyesh biyado mumin, lo yisa eskapav. It says a Kohen who has some sort of deformity in his hands, he is not allowed to do Nesias Kapayim. The Gemara does not explain why he's not allowed to do Nesias Kapayim. What's the problem? Why shouldn't he be allowed to? So Rashi and Tosis and other Rishonim have a discussion about what the reason for this halacha is. Rashi says very simply, he says, Lefisha am mistaklim bo. Is this on it? No, I forgot to put it on. Rashi says the reason why is because the people who are standing by Birchas Kohanim are going to look at the hands of the Kohanim. And the Gemara says in Chagiga, Hamistakel b'Kohanim b'shasha nosim kapeyam, ein of chaos. If somebody looks at the Kohanim at the time that they're duchening, he's going to, ein of chaos doesn't mean he goes blind, but it means he's going to have some sort of problem with his eyesight if you look at the Kohanim. Some people think that because of that, they should turn their backs to the Kohanim. Rabbi Axelrod just mentioned to me that he was looking up this time, because on Yom Tov he davened at a different minyan, then he went to put his talis away, and he said he went in and he saw in the women's section there was a whole line of women who were turned backwards to the Kohanim. That's not the way to get around the problem. If you turn your back to the Kohanim, the Gemara says the bracha isn't chal on you. You need to have panim keneged panim, you need to be facing the Kohanim. So you certainly are not allowed to turn around and have your back to the Kohanim. It's part of the reason why I gave the shiur tonight. Rabbi Axelrod said someone has to mention it, so I'm being yotzei on behalf of the shul. Somebody's mentioning it, and I hope all the rest of the members of the shul will hear about it as well, that it's important that we don't turn our backs to the Kohanim, because then we are not yotzei the bracha of Birchas Kohanim at all. It's not chal on us. But outside of that, the Rashi says that although we are not supposed to look at the hands of the Kohanim while they are duchening, however, if you're going to have somebody who has some sort of very obvious deformity, that is going to make us, encourage us to look at them. And therefore, he says, this is why we wouldn't let a balmum be ola leduchen. And Tosas says that is not the reason. That is not the problem. Number one, Tosas says, the only time you're not allowed to look at the hands of the Kohanim is when they use the Shem HaMeforish in the Beis HaMikdash, when they're doing the real Birchas Kohanim. But today, where it's just the Birchas Kohanim without the real Shem HaMeforish, we don't assume that the Shechina is on the hands of the Kohanim. And therefore, Tosas writes, he doesn't think that's the reason why a Balmum is not allowed to duchen. Even if someone does end up looking at the Kohanim, what's the problem? And therefore, Tosas says his own suggestion. He says the reason why we don't allow a Balmum who has such an obvious deformity to be one of the Kohanim who's going to duchen is because Mishum Hesach Hadas, because people are supposed to be paying attention during the Birchas Kohanim. And if you're going to be focusing on the Kohen's hands or whatever it is that's different about him, then you're not going to be paying attention to the bracha as you should. And therefore we say that a balmum is not allowed to duchen because he's going to distract the attention of the members of the community. And based on this, my father has told me, many disagree, but my father said, now in our generation, those who wear happy socks, right, for those who know what happy socks are, anyone who has teenagers knows. So if you have Kohanim who are going to wear those things, so we asked my father a few months ago, shouldn't that be the same problem? That's a much bigger Hesach Hadas than anything else. Everybody's looking at these crazy pictures that are on the socks or whatever it is. So my father thought, yes, that is something that's not an appropriate thing to wear. If you're a Kohen and you're planning on duchening, you shouldn't wear something that you know is going to catch the attention of the people. That's exactly what Tosa says. We don't even allow a balmum. A balmum who never, he wants to do the mitzvah, he wants to do what he's supposed to do. He feels so self-conscious, he feels horrible about the fact he's not able to go up with everyone else. And yet, we're going to tell him you can't because everyone's going to be distracted. So now you have a fully fledged, healthy Kohen who's not able to duchen because of some problem on his hands. And now you're going to tell me an 18-year-old kid who wears these crazy socks, everyone's going to look at him, you don't think they're going to be distracted? So my father thought that that's obvious. If Tosas says, Mishum Hesach Hadas, so that would follow that we would make sure.
Isn't that a chumrah that makes it cool?
Why?
Chumrah of Hesach Hadas, and they can't go up to duchen.
Meaning what Tosas says here about the Balmum?
Yeah.
But that's what the Gemara says. So one second. So hold on to that for a second. However, so the Gemara says a balmum is not allowed to be ola leduchen, either because, Rashi says, because we're afraid it's going to catch people's attention and they're going to be staring at him, or because mishum hesach hadas, because they're going to be distracted and they're not going to pay attention to the Birchas Kohanim, that's what Tosa says. However, the Gemara does say, imdash bi'iro, if the whole community knows that he only has a few fingers, if the whole community knows that he has this deformity, whatever it might be, and no one's going to stare at him because this is not so unusual to them. They see the guy every day. He comes to shul. They're used to this. Therefore, says the Gemara, Hareze Yisa Eskapov. In such a case, he has a right to be Nose Eskapov. That's what the Gemara ends off. But the Gemara is very fluid. The Gemara doesn't really say when this applies and when it doesn't. So the Beis Yosef reins it in and he says, hey, slow down. We're not going to say that anything that our community is used to, all of a sudden is going to be permissible. No, it's not so fast. He says, anything that is me'ikara din, anything that the Gemara itself says is li'ikuva, is considered to be a real ma'akev by Birchas Kohanim, that's where we'll say, even if we're used to it, even if we're comfortable with it, even if no one's going to look, we still would not allow such a Kohen to do the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim. But if it's only a chumra that came in the Rabbanon later on, like a person who has a mum on his hands, that's something that the Mishnah created, that's something the Mishnah came up with. In such a case, we would say, if it's dash b'iro, if the whole community knows about it already, it's not a problem. So how do we draw the line? How do we know what's considered to be a real me'ikar adin, halacha, and birchas kohanim, and what do we consider to be only a din d'rabbanan? It says the Rambam as follows, ein birchas kohanim nam meres b'chol makom ela b'lashon ha'kodesh. When you do Berchas Kohanim, he's quoting a Mishnah Maseches Sota in the 7th Perek, Elu Ne'amar B'chal Lashon, the Gemara there goes through a list of which mitzvahs you can do in any language, and which mitzvahs need to be said, particularly in the Hebrew language. So the Gemara says, Nesias Kapayim has to be done, B'lashon HaKodesh, it's learned out from a pasuk. Kos Tevarchu means, you have to give the bracha exactly like this, and you cannot translate it. Kach Lamdu Mipiashmuah Mimoshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom, says the Rambam. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who taught us that Birchas Kohanim has to be said, Bedavka in Lashon HaKodesh, it cannot be translated. Number two, we learn out from the word Kos Tevarchu, which means it has to be said exactly in this fashion, says the Rambam, Be'amida. It has to be done while the Kohen is actually standing. Number three, Kos Tevarchu B'Nesias Kapayim. It has to be that the Kohen raises up his hands. Number four, Kos Tevarchu B'Lashon HaKodesh. Kos Tevarchu Panim K'neged Panim. It has to be that they are facing each other. The Kahal, the Tzibur, and the Kohanim have to be interacting with one another. And number five, Kos Tevarchu B'Kol Rav. Says the Rambam, these are the five halachas that are learned out from the Pasuk itself, where it says, Kos Tevarchu B'nai Yisrael. And therefore the Beis Yosef says, when it comes to either of these five, let's say you have somebody who doesn't speak Hebrew, and he's a Kohen, and he's a Russian Jew, he came, we very much want him to participate in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, or he's a Jew from somewhere else, he doesn't know how to read Hebrew. So unfortunately, if he's not able to say the words in Lashon HaKodesh, that is something that the Rambam says is ma'akev. Or in our case, if you have somebody who's not able to stand, as much as it pains us that the person is suffering a stroke and is not able to participate in the mitzvah, the Rambam says, Kos Tevarchu means ba'amida, it has to be done like this, and that is me'ikar adin. And therefore says the Mishnah Brura, and this is really quoting the Beis Yosef himself, the only time the Gemara says that a balmum, if he's dash b'yiro, if everybody in the community knows that he's a balmum, the only time we say we can overlook the mum and let him duchen anyway, that's only when it's a mum, which is only a chumra midrabanan. So then we say, forget about it, it's okay. If everybody's used to his mum, we're not going to be such sticklers on the isur d'rabanan. For example, if he has only a few fingers, he's missing something, that's fine. However, if you have one of the ikur hadin halachos that is not going to be met, for example, the Kohen cannot stand, the Kohen cannot read Hebrew, the Kohen for whatever reason can't turn around to be panim, can I get panim, or the Kohen is not able to say the words and his diction is not clear, in a case like that we would say that you're not able to have that person participate in the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim. So that's only, so the Rambam himself ends off, and he says, that's only the Beis HaMikdash. Kos Tevarchu B'Shem HaMefarash is only the Beis HaMikdash, but in outside, in the Gvulim, we assume that this is allowed to be done without the Shem HaMefarash, because we don't know how to say the Shem HaMefarash. So there is a Shaila, let's say, by somebody who comes to Shul, a Kohen who comes to Shul, for example, and he has a swollen foot, he's not able to get his shoe off. So the Beis HaLevi discusses the Shaila. He's totally healthy. He woke up, he has something wrong on his foot, he has a bandage on, whatever it is. He finally squashed his shoe onto his foot, and now if he's going to have to go and take his shoe off, it's going to be very uncomfortable, it's going to cause him pain, whatever it is. Would we say that that kind of Kohen is also disqualified from Birchas Kohanim? Or would we say we would allow him to go up? Is that something that is a din, me'ikar hadin? Is that something that the Torah imposes that when a Kohen duchens he has to take his shoes off? Or is that something that we would say is only a chumra midrabanan? Well, it's clear. The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Lamed Aleph, and the same Gemara can be found in Sota and Daf Mem. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who lived in the times of the Mishnayos, he was the Nasi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai instituted, he made a takana, that a Kohen has to take his shoes off when he goes up to be Ola L'duchen. It's clearly not a din d'oraisa, it's only a din d'rabanan. And the Gemara has two reasons why we assume that this takana was instituted. Number one, says the Gemara, maybe the reason why is Mishum Kavod HaTzibur. Why is it Kavod HaTzibur? I would say, Adarabba, Kavod HaTzibur, to keep your shoes on. Where do you ever go and take your shoes off? You don't walk into a business meeting and take your shoes off. So the, what? By the snat, it's true. So the Kavod HaTzibur, the Gemara says, the reason why is because they used to have muddy shoes. So it's not Kavod HaTzibur to go and stand in front of the Tzibur when you have shoes that are full of mud. They didn't have five pairs of shoes and they didn't have shoe polish. So if you're going to have a Kohen, he's going to walk into Shul with his muddy shoes. We don't want that he should stand there in front of the whole Tzibur with his dirt on his shoes. Therefore, we say he should take his shoes off. My mother said she remembers whenever my grandfather used to go to Shul, he would stand right outside of Shul and polish his shoes right before he walked in. It was the old European shoes. That's what they used to do. We don't even have such an idea. We don't have such a concept. But the Gemara says, it's not Kavod HaTzibur. You're going to walk into Shul. You're going to have the same shoes that have all the dust and the dirt on them, and you're going to walk up in front of everybody and wear those shoes in front of the whole tzibur. Says the Gemara of Yochanan ben Zakkai, said it's not right, and therefore, universally, everybody has to take their shoes off. Reason number two, the Gemara says, is because a strange consideration. Shema tifsak la ritzua. They used to have very complicated shoes that had straps all around. They used to have tefillin straps of the way that you used to close a shoe. For anybody ever saw a chalitza shoe here? Right? If you've ever seen such a thing, it's very complicated. To tie that thing has tefillin straps. That's the way they used to tie their shoes. So the Gemara says, maybe we're concerned, Shema tifsak la ritzua. Maybe the shoelaces are going to get all tangled up and he's going to get stuck. He's going to bend down on the floor to try to fix it. And by that time, all the Kohanim are already going to be walking right by him and starting the Birchas Kohanim. He's going to miss out. People are going to see him. They're going to say, ah, we always thought he was a Kohen, but now it seems there's something wrong with him. Really, he's a Ben Grusha, Ben Chalutza. He's not who we thought he was. Forget it. Don't give him Kohen anymore. And they're going to start embarrassing him, humiliating him. Forget it. Therefore, said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, universally, everybody takes their shoes off. Because if somebody's shoelace gets tied up in the wrong way, and we're concerned he's going to bend down on the floor, he's going to miss Birchas Kohanim, somebody might say something about him, which is amazing. The Bali Musar pick up on that and say, you see how far we have to go? We make a Takana de Rabbanan. All Kohanim have to go and wash their hands and take their shoes off because we're concerned that maybe one Kohen somewhere in the world, his shoelace is going to get knotted and then he's going to miss the Birchas Kohanim. What's the likelihood of that happening? But yet, we have to be sensitive. We have to be very careful with somebody's feelings and what might happen. So, the Shulchan Aruch adopts both of these opinions. And the Shulchan Aruch says we go the Chumrah in both directions. We say it's Mishum Kavad Atzibur, and we say number two, because we're concerned about Shema Tifsik Lo Ritzua, maybe someone's shoe is going to get knotted, and then they're not going to be able to get up to Duchening on time. So therefore, we assume both. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes, even if you have the cleanest shoes in the world, you're still not allowed to wear them. Why? It's not a violation of Kavad Atzibur, because Kavod HaTzibur doesn't apply when you have clean shoes. The whole reason of Kavod HaTzibur is you're going to go up with your dirty shoes. But the consideration there is, even though Kavod HaTzibur isn't a problem, the second thing is a problem, which is maybe your shoelaces are going to become knotted and that's going to be an issue. So, the poskim say, what about now that we have shoes, slip-on shoes that don't have shoelaces at all? So there's really nothing to be concerned about. Number one, our shoes are clean. Number two, you have slip-on shoes. So the Achronim say, no. It's a low plug rabbanan. The Chacham said, no shoes at all. You're not allowed to wear shoes, end of story. You're not going to start making special dispensations for each person and deciding whether or not they're allowed to wear them or not. So that's the issue that the Achronim discuss with regard to the shoes. But it's clear, says the Beis HaLevi, it's clear that this is only a Takana de Rabbanan. It's clear it's not Meikar Adin, and therefore the Beis HaLevi writes, maybe we should say, and Rav Moshe has a tshuva about it also, maybe we should say, if the person comes into shul and has a swollen foot, and we don't know exactly how easy it's going to be for them to take the shoe off, maybe since this is something that's only a Takana D'Rabbanan, maybe we should let it go. On the other hand, so Rav Moshe says, maybe there's room to be makel. On the other hand, everyone's going to stare at him. If all the other Kohanim are not wearing shoes, and he is going to wear his shoes, isn't that going to draw attention? And if the whole problem of drawing attention is because of Hesach Hadas, so it's going to be Mesiach Das. Everyone's going to start saying, oh, he just had a surgery. He sprained his ankle. How did he sprain it? What happened? And no one's going to be paying attention, right? Everyone's going to be busy worrying about what happened to the guy's foot. Why is he wearing his shoe? And why the rest of the Kohanim are not? So this is an issue that is raised by Rav Moshe and other Achronim, where they discuss whether or not you have a right to say that this person should duchen, because really the problem that he's facing is not a problem that the Torah says is an issue, it's only a Takana D'Rabbanan, or should you say, no, since in the end of the day it's going to draw attention, therefore that is something that would cause an issue as far as Nesias Kapayim is concerned. If you hear from Marav, Marav is going to be next door in the main shul. Let me just close with one final question that I saw today in the Prima Gadim. And it's a brilliant kasha. Prima Gadim says that the Gemara tells us that in some way, Iskish Nesias Kapayim Li Avoda. We assume that the mitzvah of Nesias Kapayim is compared to Avoda, and that is why we have certain Kohanim who are not able to duchen, because the same way they wouldn't be able to do Avoda, they wouldn't be able to duchen either. Certain mumin, if a person has them, you're not able to duchen. Says the Prima Gadim, I don't understand. If you have a Kohen who's Tamei, working in the Beis HaMikdash, what's the halacha? He's Mechalal Avodaso. If you bring a Karban, and you happen to have the bad luck of getting a Kohen who was Metamei himself yesterday with whatever it may have been, and he didn't yet take care of his tahara, so you've ruined your carbon, you have to bring another one. He's mechalal avodaso. So ask the Prima Gadim, how can you ever have anybody duchen today if all of us are tameim? We've all been to funerals, we're all tamei lemeis, So how do we have a right? If the Gemara says clearly that we compare Avod and the Beis HaMikdash to Nesias Kapayim, then we should say, just like a Kohen Tameh, unequivocally, everybody agrees he's not allowed to do Avod in the Beis HaMikdash. And if he does Avod in the Beis HaMikdash, he ruins the Avod, he passels it. Well, then that should be the same by Nesias Kapayim. We shouldn't have Tuchening at all, not just reserve it to Yantav, we should never have it. So Primi Gandam says, maybe the answer is Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur. Even if we were living in the time, let's say the Beis HaMikdash was built today, what would we do? We don't have any Kohanim who are Tahar. What would we do? Well, Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur, don't we have a rule that the Gemara says in Pesachim and in Yuma that we're allowed, if we have no other option, we're allowed to take a Kohen who is Tameh because there's no other way out. What are you going to do? We're not going to have the Avodah not function today. So if we have no Kohen who is Tahar, we're going to have to go for option B, which is take a Kohen who is Tameh, Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur. However, Primi Gadim says that's only with regard to certain Tumas. But says the Primi Gadim that is not really true with regard to all Tumas. And he says, as we know, if you have somebody who's Tameh, B'Tumah Yotze Ala Migufo, if you have somebody who's a Zav or a Nida, or you've come in contact with a Nida, or you've sat on the bed of a Nida, and whatever, all the complicated halachas that we're going to have to learn, B'mheir V'yameinu, says the Primi Gadim, that's not where the law of Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur applies. The only time Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur applies is when you have someone who is Tameh B'Tumas Maga, which we assume is a lower level of Tumah, meaning you came in contact with a dead body, you came in contact with a cemetery, something like that. That kind of Tumah, we say, we're willing to overlook it, Tumah Hutcher B'Tzibur. But the Tumah Hayotze Ala Megufo, which is a more severe level of Tumah, we would not overlook that if the Beis HaMikdash was around today, and therefore ask the Primi Gadim back to our question. What right does any Kohen today have a right to Duchen? If in fact all of our Kohanim are Tameh, and therefore if the Beis HaMikdash was built, they wouldn't have a right to do the Avodah either. So if Iskish, Kuhuna Le'Avodah, we should say that all the Kohanim are going to be disqualified from doing the Nesias Kapayim, the same way they would be disqualified from doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash itself.